KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:06, we have sunny skies and 37 degrees at the KJN studios. We look for mostly sunny skies today and a high of 64 with northeast winds at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Should be a beautiful day in the Nishna Valley. Tonight, mostly clear, cold, a low around 39, and tomorrow, sunny and breezy with a high of 71. Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in state and local news here on KJAN. Republicans in the Iowa legislature have announced in a late Friday email that they've reached an agreement to overhaul the state's tax system and cut taxes. Governor Kim Reynolds says in a press release sent after 5 p.m. that she and other top Republican lawmakers made a historic deal that would include cutting individual income taxes and some corporate taxes. Reynolds' office says a bill is not available for public to review because it is still being finalized. Republicans with control of the State House have been working behind closed doors to finalize a tax plan along with the next state budget. The press release sent Friday does not provide enough information on the plan's full cost. The HSTW School Board of Directors announced on Friday afternoon that Mr. Darren Jones has been hired to serve as the new superintendent of schools for the HSTW Community School District. Jones will begin his duties officially on July 1. For the past 11 years, Jones has served as the elementary principal for the Montezuma Community School District, and prior to that, he was the K-12 dean of students in that district for 3 years. He also had teaching stints at Montezuma and Deep River Millersburg. He received his undergraduate degree at Buena Vista University in elementary education, went on to earn a master's in administration for becoming a principal, and that was from the University of Northern Iowa, and then also a superintendent endorsement certificate from UNI as well. HSTW Schools said the interview process involved approximately 60 members of the school district, including students, support staff, teaching staff, administrators, community members, parents, and the Board of Education. HSTW Board of Education President Brian Simonson said, with an understanding of rural school challenges, Mr. Jones demonstrated with passion during the day-long interview process a sincere desire to listen and involve students, staff, and community to move the HSTW school district to the next level. His focus on students first and in his instructional leadership knowledge will ensure success for HSTW students in school and life. We are thrilled Mr. Jones has agreed to serve as our next superintendent. I know everyone shares my excitement in bringing Mr. Jones into the HSTW family. We all look forward to working with him to make HSTW the number one school district in the state of Iowa. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Iowa said on Friday a Southwest Iowa couple were sentenced on Wednesday in Council Bluffs to prison for their role in the distribution of methamphetamine. 30-year-old Christopher Leroy Jordan and his spouse, 26-year-old Randy Marie Jordan, both of Sydney, were sentenced by U.S. District Court Senior Judge James E. Gritzner. Christopher Jordan was sentenced to 168 months of imprisonment and 10 years of supervised release to follow his prison term. Randy Jordan was sentenced to 42 months of imprisonment, followed by 3 years of supervised release. In early November 2016, the Fremont County Sheriff's Office initiated an investigation of the couple for distribution of meth. A search warrant was executed on January 31st of 2017 at their home, resulting in the seizure of methamphetamine, marijuana plants, and related evidence, as well as the arrest of both defendants. The investigation was conducted by Fremont County Sheriff's Office and Iowa Division of Narcotics Enforcement and prosecuted by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Iowa. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office reports 34-year-old Reese Chatterton of Sydney was arrested Friday following a traffic stop near the intersection of Highway 275 and 200th Street in Sydney. Chatterton was taken into custody in connection with a disturbance that had occurred at a residence in Sydney. Chatterton faces charges that include driving under suspension and domestic abuse first offense causing bodily injury. He was being held in the Fremont County Jail pending initial appearance with a magistrate. U.S. District Court Judge James E. Gritzner Wednesday sentenced 32-year-old Ivan Antonio Cervantes to 18 months in prison for possession of contraband by a federal prisoner. Cervantes was also ordered to serve 2 years of supervised release to follow his prison term. The sentence is to be served consecutively to a prior 70-month sentence for a felony drug offense prosecuted by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Iowa. Cervantes and others distributed a synthetic cannabinoid while incarcerated at the Pottawatomie County Jail. On May 17th of 2017, jail staff seized a substance from Cervantes' cell with the use of a drug-detecting dog. Lab reports confirmed the substance found hidden in Cervantes' cell tested positive for a synthetic cannabinoid. Further investigation revealed another individual brought the substance to the jail, then distributed the substance to other inmates. The case was investigated by the Iowa Division of Narcotics Enforcement and prosecuted by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Iowa. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds says she's ordering an independent review of a state agency where a former director and political ally was accused of multiple instances of sexual harassment over years. Reynolds announced Friday afternoon she and the Attorney General's office selected a Des Moines attorney to head an investigation into conduct at the Iowa Finance Authority that is linked to the alleged abuse by former director Dave Jamieson. A woman accused of killing her stepfather in Des Moines has been sentenced to 10 years in prison. The Des Moines Register reports that 30-year-old Sarah Alexander was sentenced on Friday after pleading guilty in March to involuntary manslaughter and reckless use of a firearm in the May 2017 death of 49-year-old Anthony Hartman. Officials in eastern Iowa have released the names of a suspect and bailiff involved in a courthouse shooting. The Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation said Friday in a written statement that Story County Courthouse bailiff Timothy Hutchison fired a shot from his service weapon as he, another bailiff, and a Davenport police officer tried to subdue 29-year-old Adam DeMarcus LaFrance, and no one was hit by the shot. And motorists encounter all sorts of obstacles on the road, but a giant bouncing inflatable rubber duck might be a first. Drivers and pedestrians in a two-block stretch near Des Moines' East Village got a glimpse of just that on Thursday evening when a 20-foot inflatable duck bounded along a street. The duck, dubbed Quacky, is owned by the Youth Emergency Shelter and Services and is part of a promotion for the 92-bed youth shelter's annual Duck Derby fundraiser set for May 5th. Shelter director Stephen Quirk says Quacky went afoul after one of its tethers broke in high winds. Quirk says the 11-year-old giant inflatable duck is back in his nest getting some repairs so it can be ready to again display for the Derby. And also in other notes here this morning, the Cass County Conservation Board is offering you a couple of opportunities to get out of the house and into nature. Naturalist Laura Canning says one of the events takes place this weekend in the form of a wildflower walk here this morning at the Pellet Memorial Woods north of Atlantic.
We sometimes talk about some of the wildflowers that are out there that are in the middle of the season or once it's been warm for a while, and it hasn't been warm for a while, so our early ones are out there blooming. I just was out there walking to see what was out there blooming. So, you know, I tell people if you've been to it before, don't be afraid to come back and do the wildflower walk the next year too, because it'll be different. Especially comparing this year to last year will be definitely different for some of the flowers that are blooming right now.
And Canning said the free guided tour will start out at the trailhead beginning at 9 a.m. this morning.
We will go for a nice little walk and we'll be pointing them out. And I also, if I know, and some of them have stories about what the Native Americans used them for and things like that.
During the tour, you'll learn the names, uses, and history of the wildflowers. Pellet Memorial Gardens is located just outside of Atlantic, a half mile north and three-quarter miles east of our KJN studios. The event will be canceled if there is inclement weather, and it looks like it'll be a beautiful morning for it, so that's not a problem. Another event takes place on Saturday, May 5th at the Hitchcock House near Lewis. The Hitchcock Pioneer Skills Festival has been held at the site located 6 miles south of Atlantic and 1.5 miles west of Lewis for more than 20 years.
Our fourth graders come out that Friday before, and then on Saturday, May 5th, will be everyone for the public that afternoon. And so if you've got a fourth grader, you might have heard that they're getting to go and coming out and seeing us.
And you'll have an opportunity to visit the historic Hitchcock House, which served as a station on the Underground Railroad. The two-story home was built in 1856 and features thick sandstone walls, window seats, native hardwood trim, and a secret room that hid runaway slaves. The secret room is located in the basement, where there is also a stone fireplace where the slaves could cook food and keep warm. Canning says the hub of the festival activities on May 5th will take place in the barn.
It's going to be from 1 to 4, and it's free. The anything in the barn is free to come out and try. And then if you do want a tour of the house, anyone older than high school age and adult age will, that's $5 a person. Otherwise, the kids are free to go through on a tour of the house as well.
In the barn, you'll have a chance to observe the skills and crafts of the past and even try your hand at a few of them. There will be rope making, candle dipping, tin punching, and wood carvings. For more information or to volunteer for those and other events, you can call 712-769-2372. You can also ask conservation staff about all the parks and other events in Cass County during those upcoming events. That's a look at the latest in state and local news. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements. Gene Milford, age 97, of Atlantic, died March 13th at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Graveside services for Gene Milford will be held today at 10 a.m. at the Atlantic Cemetery. Hockerberry Family Care Funeral Home is in charge of the arrangements. D. Carnes Robertson, age 86, of Fontenelle, died January 3rd in Des Moines. A celebration of life for D. Carnes Robertson will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. Margaret Marilyn Hansen, age 78, of Avoca, died January 6th at home. A celebration of life for Margaret Hansen will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Robert Bob Dwayne Just, age 79, of Atlantic, died April 17th at Atlantic Specialty Care. Memorial services for Bob Just will be held today at 1:30 p.m. at the St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Dolores D. Hankey, age 86, of Atlantic, died April 16th at the Heritage House in Atlantic. A celebration of life service for D. Hankey will be held Saturday at 2 p.m. here today at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home has the arrangements. Gerald Edward Jones, age 79, of Flippin, Arkansas, formerly of Walnut, died February 20th in Mountain Home, Arkansas. A celebration of life for Gerald Jones will be held today at 2 p.m. at the Monroe Methodist Church northeast of Walnut. Iris Laverne Hollison, age 93, of Omaha and formerly of Griswold, died Wednesday at the Hospice House in Omaha. A memorial visitation for Iris Hollison will be held Sunday from 1:30 to 2:45 p.m. at the Reekin Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Roland Putney, age 76, of Menlo, died Thursday in Menlo. Funeral services for Roland Putney will be held Monday at 10 a.m. at the All Saints Catholic Church in Stewart. Tweak Funeral Home and Guthrie Center has the arrangements. Connie M. Beamer, age 58, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at Atlantic Specialty Care. Funeral services for Connie M. Beamer will be held Monday at 10:30 a.m. at St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home Atlantic has arrangements. Former Iowa Supreme Court Justice Jerry Larson, age 81, of Harlan, died Wednesday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Jerry Larson will be held Monday at 11 a.m. at the First Baptist Church in Harlan. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Larry Hardesty, age 71, of Corning, died Thursday at his home in rural Corning. Funeral services for Larry Hardesty will be held Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. at the Pearson Family Funeral Service and Cremation Center in Corning. And Sarah Burney, age 39, of Kansas City, Missouri, formerly of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Menorah Medical Center in Overland Park, Kansas. Services for Sarah Burney are currently pending with Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic. That's a look at your news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.